You are listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
This network is supported by our listeners. You can become a supporting member by going to archpodnet.com/members and signing up. As a supporting member, you have access to high-quality downloads of each show and a discount at our future online store and access to show hosts on a members-only Slack team. For professional members, we'll have training shows and other special content offered throughout the year. Once again, go to archpodnet.com/members to support the network and get some great extras and swag in the process. That's archpodnet.com/members.
This is episode 215 for the 3rd of August, 2017.
I'm Chris Webster, and on today's show, Chapter 19, Unemployment, from the Field Archaeologist Survival Guide, Getting a Job and Working in Cultural Resource Management. So as I said, this is Chapter 19, Unemployment, from the Field Archaeologist Survival Guide, and there's a link to that book in the show notes for this episode. But I'm first going to read the intro to Section 5, because that's what starts right before Chapter 19 here. And Section 5 is called The End, for now. All good things come to an end. For cultural resource management, or CRM archaeologists, the end comes every year around November. For some, the end comes and they never come back. This section covers topics related to not doing CRM archaeology anymore. Hopefully, by this time, you've read enough of the book to be able to keep yourself happy for a long time in CRM. But unfortunately, sometimes there just aren't any jobs and you have to do something else. Read this section, pay your bills, and get back in the saddle. This can be a rewarding career if you do it right. And yes, there are right ways and wrong ways to do CRM archaeology. All right, Chapter 19, Unemployment. We just returned from the field after an eight-day session in Central Nevada doing survey on a property owned by a mine. While I was in the field, I posted photographs of projectile points and interesting features on my Twitter and Instagram accounts. At some point, I mentioned that I was on a particular mine. I didn't know that the first rule of the mine was that you don't talk about the mine. Within 15 minutes of arriving back in the office, the principal investigator on the project fired me for tweeting the name of the mine. I couldn't believe it. Luckily, she said they were not going to record my dismissal as a firing, but as being laid off. Since it was October in the Great Basin and work was winding down, the chances of finding another position were vanishingly small. That's when I decided to file for unemployment. As a cultural resource management or CRM archaeologist, you will often find yourself without work. There may be a lull between jobs, or you might be off for 3 to 5 months for the winter. In this business, you never know what the future, let alone the next month, will bring. Of course, the smart field tech will save enough money in order to plan for unforeseen events, such as unemployment. But nobody's perfect, and hindsight is 20/20. So, even if you're morally or politically opposed to unemployment, it's good to know about it and how to get it, just in case. Filing for unemployment. I've always been a bit too lazy to file for unemployment in the past. I figured that working in several different states throughout the year would just make it way too complicated. Also, the unemployment procedures are different for every state. This chapter will discuss filing for and collecting unemployment in the state of Nevada only. However, it's similar for other states. The first thing you should do if you want to collect unemployment benefits is to use your favorite search engine and look for unemployment in the state you are a resident of. The Nevada system is quite simple, and after searching unemployment in Nevada, I found it right away. In Nevada, there's an online filing system that will ask you questions to assess whether you can even file online or if you have to use a phone system. The question that stopped me when I did it was whether I had worked solely in the state of Nevada for the past 18 months. This is the period they use to assess how much you will qualify for. I decided to test the system because I had one two-week job in Georgia at the beginning of the 18-month period, but the rest of my work was in Nevada. I thought that I could just forget that part. That was my first mistake. When I filed in Nevada, I answered the test questions satisfactorily, and the website directed me to the online filing system. Then, I answered a bunch of questions and finally made it down to my work history. That's when I backed out of my plan to forget about the little Georgia job. Once I admitted that I'd worked in Georgia, the system immediately kicked me out and told me to use the phone filing system. The government knows everything. Don't try to fool them. The phone system is automated and asks the same questions as the online system. It never even asked me about the Georgia job, because this is when you find out that they are only looking about 9 months back. After that, it took about 15 minutes to complete the filing process by phone. At that point, I thought I was done. The automated system told me that my claim would be evaluated and that I'd be contacted. The next day, I received a call from a person at the unemployment division. He asked me almost all the same questions, including the names and addresses of my last employers during the last 9 to 12 months. He was able to instantly pull my financial data from those employers and determined that I had made about $33,000 during the last 4 quarters. That qualified me for a maximum, in 2011, unemployment benefit of $396 a week for a maximum of 26 weeks, or $10,296. I was told that there might be federal taxes assessed on this income. Nevada doesn't have a state tax. And I was given the option to hold 10% of the disbursement each week. I elected to do that because I didn't need the headache of dealing with pulling taxes out of savings in April. My research has shown that many states don't take taxes out of unemployment checks and that you'll have to do it yourself come tax time. Find out what your state does so you're not surprised in April. Once you're in the system. In many states, including Nevada, you have to file each week to get your check the following week or later that week. You also have to keep a log of the jobs you apply for. They say you should apply for at least 3 to 4 jobs each week, but it's almost impossible to enforce, especially if you have a career that doesn't have many open positions, such as archaeology in the winter. You can be asked to show your job log at any time. Here in Nevada, you have to satisfy the unemployment division when they ask to see your job log, or they could demand back all the money they gave you up to that point. And I'll just put a little note in here. I was able to list a lot of the same employers every week because I told them that their job availability changed on a week-to-week basis because they might have a new contract or something like that. For veterans, since I'm a veteran, I had an additional complication in Nevada. Veterans are supposed to go to Nevada Job Connect to see if they can be assisted in their job search. All governments like to treat veterans differently, which is sometimes good, but sometimes it's just a hassle. My representative was a good guy and didn't give me too much trouble. Consequences of unemployment or benefits. If Nevada Job Connect had been able to find me a job, regardless of the conditions of the job, I would have been required to take it. If you are offered an interview, you have to take it. If you don't do these things, they can submit your case for adjudication, and you could lose your benefits and all the money they've paid you thus far. In Nevada, as in other states, you have to file once a week. You can file starting at 12:01 a.m. on Saturday night here. The sooner you file, the sooner they pay you. I filed online at about 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and by Wednesday, the morning was in my account. If I waited until late on Sunday, then I was paid on Thursday. The way they pay you in Nevada is by putting the money into a Wells Fargo savings account, which is accessible with a very restricted debit card. You get charged for too many withdrawals, too many balance inquiries, for trying to take out the money that isn't there, and for calling customer service. You can avoid fees by going into the bank, so there's at least that. When I was on unemployment, I could just go to the Wells Fargo ATM, withdraw the money, and since I banked with Wells Fargo, I put it right back into my account. You can elect to have paper checks sent, but for most people, there is too much of a lag between filing and receiving the check. Also, this is the 21st century. Who gets paper checks? Summary. Even though you may not want to collect unemployment, it's there in case you need it. You may have to file in several different states for maximum benefit, which will almost be a full-time job in itself. Many people have political objections to filing for unemployment and think that too many people feel entitled to it and end up just staying on it as long as they can. I feel that CRM archaeology is one of the few professions where people earn their unemployment every year. We work hard during the year, and if there simply isn't any work over the winter, then you should be able to draw unemployment. Consider it a gift from the people of the state you live in for helping to record and preserve their history. And I'll make one more editorial note here. It might be wise at the beginning of the year, if you're able to with your state, to file for unemployment, like get the ball rolling on that, but not make a claim that week because your system stays active. So when your job in a month ends and you have a week or 2 week lag, the minute that job ends, you're laid off officially. You're not fired unless you got fired, but you're laid off. You can immediately make a claim and have money soon, like within a week, to help tide you over for that couple weeks. But then once you start working again, you can't keep claiming. You have to tell them you're back to work, or you simply just don't file, at least here in Nevada. So that's kind of a pro tip. If you think you're going to have any periods of unemployment through the year, maybe go there, maybe call and say, hey, here's the deal. I'm going to be unemployed at some point. Can I just get all this paperwork done and get myself set up in the system so it's easier for me to collect when I can? So anyway, that's it. That was Chapter 19 from the Field Archaeologist Survival Guide, Getting a Job and Working in Cultural Resource Management. And check out the link for that in the show notes. Thank you. That's it for this episode of ARC 365. Please share this episode on your social media sites so others can have fun and learn about archaeology too. Please consider a donation to ARC 365 by sponsoring an episode for just $35. You can find the sponsor page at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/sponsor ARC 365. Thanks and have a great 2017 with the Archaeology Podcast Network. The song Storm Diggin' was written, performed, and recorded by Steve Webster. This show is produced by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle. And edited by Richie Cruz.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.